Hi, welcome to my podcast, Absolute Parenting, the shit no one tells you. Episode 26, picking the right school. And don't forget, if you like what you're hearing, then please subscribe or follow me on social media so you can share it with anyone that you think may find it helpful. You will find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle at Absolute Parenting. Don't forget, the brand spanking new Absolute Parenting website is here. Type in absoluteparentingclub.com. Hey guys, so I have some news. Season 2 is coming to an end, and not by choice. I was actually planning on doing 15 episodes in this season before ending for the summer holiday. However, life is never that simple, is it? Right now, for me, it is like shit has hit the fan. If you have been following me on the podcast, then you may have heard that, well, you may have heard me mentioning quite a lot of time that I am having loads of trouble with my child's school. So, my husband and I have basically decided to move house just so we can move our child to another school a little bit easier. If we stay living here where we are now, it is pretty much impossible to get her to another school. Trust me, we have explored every avenue before making this drastic decision to move house. Anyway, so we got to move quickly as well before the next stamp duties holiday ends in the UK, which is in September. So yeah, not long to go at all, really. So the word stress doesn't even describe how we are feeling right now. After crunching numbers, and moving is an option for us in order to be able to move our child out of that fucking school. So yeah, ever since that decision was made, it has been non-stop. Tidying the house, getting it ready, decluttering, and on top of that, juggling work and mummy duties. It really just been so stressful. I bet all of you are thinking, bloody hell, why is the school so bad that we have to move house in order to move school? I mean, I don't even know where to start, actually, when my friends ask me the exact same question, because there are just so many things that my husband and I are not happy with, and the list is, you know what, it's just too long. And if I talk about every single point, I think I'll be here for like a whole year. But anyway, so for this podcast, I have literally made like a list of 10 things that really like bug us the most. So here it goes. And look, before I start on my list of 10 things, I just hope that this list could be a helpful tool for parents to use when you are trying to pick a school for your child, or if you're in the process of looking at school for your child. But anyway, sorry, I'll stop rambling, and here are the list of 10 things that bug us the most. So, number one, the head teacher is currently 62 years old, so very close to her retirement age. The retirement age in the UK is 65 for women. Since she is at that age bracket, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm being a bit, you know, ageist or whatever, but she is very computer phobic and she doesn't like using the computer. Like, technology really scares her, if that makes sense. So because of that, she pretty much avoids letting children having computer lessons as much as possible. I mean, you know what? I'm not saying, you know, I'm not like pro computers, you know, kids should just use a computer. Like, I'm not like that at all as a parent. However, I do feel that in this day and age, you know what, we are surrounded by computers and it is now kind of becoming our daily lives. And as the younger generation grow up, you know, it is something that they're going to live with day in, day out. So they have to learn it. And I think, you know what, the better equipped they are, you know, the better it is for them. So I don't agree with her kind of just not letting them to have the opportunity to learn just because of her own, well, kind of insecurity, her own fear, you know, because that is not really like an excuse, you know what I mean? She's supposed to be like an education provider and this is like the next generation, you know, why is she stopping the next generation to kind of have the chance to learn a computer skills? But anyway, you know what? And from speaking to loads of parents, I was putting my journalist skills to use. Many parents have actually told me that my daughter's school are massively behind on their computer skills when they go to secondary school. So secondary school in the UK is when you go into year 7, so at the age of like 10 or 11. Point 2. My daughter is currently 6 years old, and I hope you can agree that almost all 6 years old enjoy playing on the playground, especially the equipment like the slide or like, you know, the monkey bars, you know the one I mean, like the one you get in a normal park. Now, in my daughter's school, they are not allowed to go on them at break times, like not ever. The only time they are allowed to go on there is for PE. This is because apparently it is due to health and safety reasons, and the school have kind of made it up that they are gym equipment, and that is what the school actually call them, their gym equipment, and they're only allowed to use them in PE lessons. Now, I think that's a bit ridiculous. I mean, they are just normal playground equipment that you get in a park, and why can't they just enjoy it? You know, it is ridiculous. And I just think it is almost a bit dishonest to call them gym equipment when they are not gym equipment. And you know what? They actually got a hall, like a school hall, that is actually full of gym equipment. But at the moment, they're not allowed to use it because of COVID. Apparently, they're just not allowed to use the hall for anything. So they are just stuck in their classroom all the time. Even though a lot of the rules in the UK have now eased for school, but they are still just keeping the children in their classroom, and that is it, like a cage animal. Point 3. This point relates to the point that I just made in point 2. So, on the other hand, the school is forever asking us parents to fundraise so the children can enjoy new equipment on the playground. But you know what? I don't get it. What is the point of asking parents to fundraise when the children are not allowed to enjoy it? I mean, literally, we have zero idea where the money is going. However, a source have told me, using my journalist skills once again, that the head teacher's office has been redecorated about 4 times in the space of 5 years. I mean, isn't that a bit ridiculous and a bit dodgy to you? I mean, to me, that screams, you know, something is not right. If the children are not allowed to go on the playground equipment, then why the hell are they asking parents to always fundraise for the school to get new equipment, but then they don't actually get anything new? I mean, where is that money going? You know, where does it actually go? And why does the head teacher need to have her office redecorated about 4 times in the space of 5 years? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Point 4. Any form of communication between the school and parents, well, I don't even know how to describe it. Just utterly shit. Like, utterly shit, fucking horrendous, doesn't exist, just poor. The only form of communication we get from the school, like good communication we get from the school, is, you know what, when they need to fundraise or when they need money from us. Yeah, when they need money from us parents, they are all about communicating. They are all about talking to us parents. However, if we have any issues, the school will either take forever to respond or ignore us. That's right, they will ignore parents. We are currently not allowed on the school ground due to COVID. We are only allowed to email or call. However, if you were to leave a voicemail, then, well, they just won't really get back to you. Or even if they do, it is very, very slow. And yeah, so if you actually call them, then they don't really want to speak to you. And you know what? Especially if you want to speak to the head teacher over the phone, yeah, she definitely doesn't want to talk to you. She will just literally make up some excuse and just not talk to you. So emails, if we send an email in, it is basically potluck really that you get a reply. And yeah, unless you have to chase and chase them, they would not reply to your email. I mean, you know what? It shouldn't be like that, especially during a global pandemic where communication is probably the most important thing. It is like probably more important than ever to like communicate. But no, not this school. They only want to talk to you when they want something from you. And when you want something from them, like if you've got like concerns, if you've got issues, no, they don't want to know. They don't give a shit. Point five, any bullying issues, the school will not address or sort it out. And this is speaking from numerous parents that kind of been through this, and they're actually, you know what, sharing their experience with me. You know, I have spoken to loads of parents about this. Now, even with my own experience, I can feel the school will actually do fuck all about it. So basically, my daughter, she's a very shy little girl and she doesn't really speak up, bless her. Like, she will just, you know, let people push her about, basically. She's just that kind of character. It's just how she is. But anyway, so once someone broke her beloved earmuffs on purpose, I mean, you can tell someone, like, pulled it apart. Anyway, she was so upset because, you know, she absolutely loved those earmuffs. And bear in mind, back then, she was only 5 years old. So because she was that upset, she couldn't get her word out to explain to the teacher what has happened. But anyway, so obviously I spoke to the school about it. And you know what? The school simply blamed her nice nature and that this kind of thing is normal in a school environment. Yeah, I'm not even fucking kidding. This is what the school told me, that this kind of behavior is normal in a school environment and that because my child is too nice, it is her fault. I mean, as a parent, you just fucking livid and just make you so angry when you hear, you know, these people who are supposed to be taking care of a child, who's supposed to be, you know, looking after their well-being, and they're just not doing their job. You know what? It's not my daughter's fault that, you know, she's nice. You know what? These fucking naughty kids, clearly should not be breaking them on purpose. Clearly these naughty kids are the ones that need disciplining. And instead, no, the school just brush it under the carpet and blame my daughter. And that basically this is how it is. This is school, you know, suck it up. Point six. So when we went to view the school, okay, I totally know they can, you know, make stuff up or bend the truth a little bit, you know, to make them more attractive and get, you know, obviously parents to join the school community and obviously get our children to, you know, join the school. However, we did ask some very specific questions during that kind of open day, such as, you know, do you offer lessons to parents on how to do phonics and maths? Because obviously we are very aware they get taught very differently now and I have zero clue. And the answer we got was, yes, we do offer parents lessons and help them. We run classes after school. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, great. And you know what? Now my daughter has been in the school for 2 years. It turns out it is a load of bullshit. When I asked them again, they said, no, we never offer that. We don't do that. I mean, that is just like a blatant lie. I think it is the blatant lying that I have a problem with here. It is just really dishonest. I mean, if they can be that dishonest, I mean, I have very, very little hope and very little faith in everything else that they do. Point seven, in 2019, many parents told me that the school did not have a year six teacher because she went on maternity leave. And you know what? The head teacher decided that she will not need to replace this year six teacher. And instead, she will teach the class as and when she can. Now, in the UK, year six is kind of a big deal. It is kind of important. It is the year before they go to secondary school and they have exams to do. You know what? That year, many children actually failed or didn't achieve a good enough score. And again, this is just utterly ridiculous. I mean, what kind of management style is this? You know, that she was just happy to see children failing and don't really care. I mean, like, where is the duty of care for these poor children who is kind of transitioning from primary school to secondary school? point 8. Now, this point actually relates to the point I've just made in point 7. So, basically, with the poor exam results that has been produced that year, it then led the school to be now, well, basically at the bottom 10% of the UK school. The standard is now well below average. I mean, does the head teacher even care? Like, seriously, where is the duty of care? You know, does she even care about the children's education? It's just utterly, I just can't get my head around it. Point 9. Now, this next bit of information came from some very reliable sources and totally putting my journalist researching skills to use. So the head teacher applied for some funding a few years back, and this funding was supposed to be used to improve the school environment. So, you know, plant more flowers and trees, like picnic tables, you know, etc., etc., etc. Now, this funding was then misused, and instead the head teacher decided to build two new classrooms so that she can take in more pupils and therefore make more money. Because in a UK state school, for every child that attends the school, they get money from the government. So basically, yeah, it operates like a business. If that isn't naughty and being dishonest, then I don't know what is. And do I really want my child to be taught by such a dishonest school? And you know what? The answer is no. I just don't like the dishonest factor. Point 10, finally. I'm not sure if we are being overly picky on this one, but our child's teacher English is really, really fucking poor. As in, she often makes spelling mistakes, grammar mistakes, and just, well, other general mistakes in her writing. We have flagged this up and brought it to the school's attention before, but they just brushed it under the carpet and just blamed the fact that she's a new teacher and this is how it is. I don't think those mistakes can be blamed on the fact that she is a new teacher. Again, not admitting fault and just being really fucking dishonest. And I just really don't want my daughter to be taught by someone that are like that, you know, that can't even spell words correctly, that are forever making mistakes. I mean, how can you trust, like, your education provider when there is no duty of care? I mean, sometimes my daughter will get English homework back and I can just pick out so many, you know, spelling mistakes, just grammar mistakes. And bearing in mind, English is not my first language, and even I sometimes struggle a little bit with my grammar. But and I just think, for someone like me who's a foreigner and able to pick out those mistakes, that is bad. And this is, you know, the education provider that is supposed to be teaching my daughter. I mean, I just can't. It just really, really annoys me. Right, so with those 10 points I have mentioned, you know what? It really is just scratching the surface of the problems we are having with my daughter's school. And I think with the pandemic, it really just amplified the problem by like 1,000 times. And I mean, I think the problems, you know, they were already there and we can see it, you know, right from the beginning. But I think with the pandemic, the cracks just, you know, just got much bigger, you know, really quickly, and we can really see it. Such as, for an example, like with the use of computers, we can kind of tell the school is not very, you know, up to date with their IT and stuff like that. But anyway, so with the pandemic, obviously the school was in lockdown, you know, it was home learning, remote learning, whatever you want to call it. The school pretty much refused to embrace technology to keep in touch with the children and parents during the UK national lockdown. And you know what? With that, I mean, yeah, seriously, let alone offering any kind of online lessons, that was just no way in hell they were going to do that. The school still not yet formally inform parents how they will be using the government, UK's government catch-up funding, catch-up grants, to help children catch up with their work. Now, all of my friends that live around me, they have all told me that their child's school have sent like a formal email out to all the parents outlining how the government catch-up grant will be used and what is the school offering. And you know what? My daughter's school, yeah, nothing. We have not heard a word. We don't even know, you know, are they actually going to use this extra funding for our children's and for their education. Quite a few of my friends have said to me, well, maybe she'll be retiring soon. And I say, yes, you know, the worst case, she will be retiring in 3 years' time when she turns 65. But that is still, you know, 3 years away. And that is 3 years a bit too long for me. The best case scenario is that she leaves like next year, which to me is still, you know, a little bit too long. But anyway, you know, even though once she leaves, I am sure, well, actually, no, actually, sorry, not I am sure. I am unsure if I have the faith or trust the school governors to pick the right head to lead the school. Because I have actually made a formal complaint. I followed the UK complaint procedures and I complained about the head teacher. It was the governors who I had to deal with regard to the complaint, because obviously I was making a complaint against the head teacher. So I had a very lengthy meeting with the school governors. And you know what? My conclusion from that meeting with the school governors was that they are just all in it together. They are all just the same people. And you know what? They are just all mates. Yeah, seriously. They're all basically best mates. So yeah, basically the head teacher is pretty much protected and untouchable by the governors, or aka her mates. And now, speaking of the governors, again from my detective work, I have found out there have been some really good people with an opinion and want to push for change that did join the school governing body like a few years back. However, these individuals that have an opinion that want to make change, they have been kicked out by the school governors because, you know what, they had too much opinions and they want to change and the school doesn't want to change. So you know what, when the people at the top are like that, how will the school ever change? You know what I mean? It's like you have the head teacher who's supposed to lead the school, but the head teacher is like stubborn as fuck. And then you have the school governing body who's supposed to oversee everything and supposed to have the school best interests at heart and supposed to have the children's best interests at heart. And they are just exactly the same as the head teacher. They're like the clone of each other. And they don't want anyone new coming in. They don't want any opinion. They don't want to hear anything bad. You know, how is this system ever going to change? You know what I mean? Therefore, we feel the right decision is to move my child out of the school. I mean, yes, I have also put a complaint into Ofsted, which is the UK education governing body, but that is still just a work in progress and it has been, you know, nearly 6 months now. So I just feel something else got to be done. As parents, you want to do what is best for your child. I am already feeling like a massive failure, because I feel like I have picked the wrong school for my child. Looking back, I think I picked this school for her based on my emotions, because her best friends was going there and we didn't particularly love our catchment school. So we thought, okay, well, let's do this and let's go for this school. And now looking back, I wished, you know, I followed the logical side of my brain and not listened to my emotions. Because I know I would have picked a different school for her if I followed my logical side. In the UK, I am sure many parents right now are probably viewing a lot of schools, you know, deciding, you know, ready for September 2022 start. And of course, decision has to be made by December this year or January 2022. So what word of wisdom will I give from my own experience? Well, first of all, don't pick a school based on your emotions. Okay, seriously, use your logical brain. When they are small, you know what? They grow and develop friendships very, very quickly. And I have learned that, and I feel I have learned that the hard way as well. My daughter doesn't actually even really play with best friends anymore. You know, kind of the reason why I picked this school for her as well. You know, she kind of grew out of it and she made new friends. You know, they do grow and change so quickly. Go with your gut. I cannot stress this enough. Do your research, and I don't just mean Ofsted. Ofsted is, of course, useful, but I have also found that Ofsted is very much based on ticking boxes. So what I mean by that is, if a school is underachieving, Ofsted would go in and give them like a list of stuff to improve on. And if the school can just do the bare minimum to achieve that, then Ofsted will simply give them a tick and that's it. They get a good Ofsted report. That's it. Job done. It doesn't mean they have to follow through. Like, it doesn't mean anything. It is literally ticking boxes by doing the bare minimum. So yeah, don't always trust Ofsted, but read the report thoroughly. That is actually quite handy. I mean, Ofsted does have sometimes, you know, very good information on the school, but make sure you read the whole thing properly and don't just look at, you know, the rating good or whatever. Then I have also found another great way to research is actually by talking to parents, especially parents with older children, because, you know, you can get a different vibe and different opinion and different experience, you know, from talking to the different parents that perhaps have had older children that went into the school. Another great thing is, join a local Facebook page too, where your child's school is based. It is actually a great way to get a vibe, you know, on the school. As an example, where my child's school is now based, there is actually a local group for that, you know, little, well, village. And it turns out the locals absolutely hate the head teacher and are forever slagging the head teacher off and saying how bad and how terrible the school is. You know what? If I saw that before picking the school for her, my God, I would definitely not put this school down for her. Like, I really wished I knew about this and saw this Facebook group sooner. Some of the things they were saying about the head teacher and the school is just unbelievable. And you know what? Yeah, definitely. If I saw that Facebook page back then, it would definitely 1000% swayed my decision on putting her into this school. Another thing, actually, one final thing, it is also worth checking out Google reviews. Not all schools have it, but some do. So it is good just to have a little check and a little search very, very quickly. Finally, like me, if you feel you did make a mistake in picking a school, then don't be afraid to do something about it. And you know what, in my position, I actually feel quite glad that this has happened, because you know what, I was thinking to myself, or and my husband, we're thinking to ourselves, you know what, our daughter is still currently quite young. So yeah, it is actually easier to move her, because as they get older, it is that much harder to move them, because, you know, they're more set on their friendship groups and friends are so important, you know. And changing the environment can be quite stressful for them as well. But the younger they are, the more adaptive and the more resilient they are. And you know what? A lot of parents that I spoke to that have got kids, you know, that are in this school right now, older kids, they have always said to me, you know what? Move your daughter out now, because she's still so small. And they have all said to me that they wish they moved their kids out much sooner. And they feel that now they are, you know, kind of coming to the end of their, you know, time in primary school, it is too late to move them out. So you know what, there is a silver lining to my situation. And the silver lining is, you know what, okay, yes, it is shit that I have made a mistake picking this school for her, but she is young, so, you know, we can move her out. It's not too late. Hopefully it's not going to be like too damaging, you know, that kind of thing for her. And I totally get that it is hard and you will feel defeated. And as parents, you know, you will also feel there's no way out due to the way the system is. But I always believe there is always a way out of things. I know not everyone may be in a position to move house like we are. And, you know, we do feel very fortunate that we can consider this as an option. And believe me, it wasn't an easy decision to make, and is not a decision that we have, you know, taken lightly due to all the costs involved with moving house. So it is stressful. But you know what? After crunching some numbers and we think, okay, you know what? It is possible. It will be extra financial stress. But you know what? We can do this. Okay, let's do it. Because it is for our two daughters. It is for their future. It is for their education. It is worth it. We'll suck it up. Anyway, so along with like arranging a house move, I am still exploring different ways to kind of bust the school out, I suppose. Because I just feel it is so unfair. It is not fair what this school is doing to so many families and children. You know, they are an education, you know, educator. They are an education provider, and they seem to have zero duty of care. I actually know so many families now, you know, that are like me in the process of moving, so they can move their child out of the school. And you know what? Some of them have actually already gone. It's just not right for a school to make that many parents feel this way, you know, feeling helpless, you know, feel like that in like a helpless situation, and making us parents feel like, you know, our opinion doesn't matter. I just don't agree with it. I just don't understand how they can actually get away with it for so long. You know, it really, really bugs me. Anyway, guys, on that note, I am so sorry I have to cut season two short, but I simply just cannot get more time out of my day juggling mummy duties, working, and of course now dealing with a fucking house move, which is totally unexpected. But anyway, breathe. Anyway, so I will be back in September, and a date is still to be confirmed, obviously, depending when we can move in and everything else like that. And obviously, once I settle back into a new home. But anyway, I will keep you all posted via social media over at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And our handle is at Absolute Parenting. Oh, and of course, our brand new website, absoluteparenting.club. In the meantime, I will start to populate our brand new website with blog posts. So yeah, please do go and check it out. And yeah, you can send us a message through the website as well. But anyway, thank you so much for your understanding, listeners. It really is much appreciated. And I will see you guys back here in September. And you know what? Have a fantastic summer holiday with your children.